Peace be with you and Happy New Year. It's the first episode of 2023. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. By the way, I post a lot of pictures in that group that don't get shared anywhere else. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We recently saw the Heisman Trophy awarded, and as the NFL season winds down, we're only about a month away from the league's annual awards presentation called the NFL Honors being televised. As someone who is a big, big fan of the National Hockey League, it has been fun for me to see them have their end-of-season awards ceremony televised also. The acceptance speeches are interesting, and this even happens at a local level too, or with pretty much any sports league that holds an awards event at the end of a season. While it's nice to see athletes on social media posting about their spouse or sometimes even one or both of their parents, those same folks, and obviously teammates and coaches, are the ones who get the thanks when it comes to accepting a trophy. And while it's certainly appropriate and they should be thanked, not only should athletes remember who blessed them with the gifts of their talents, but this is also yet another opportunity to step out in holy boldness, as you often hear me refer to on this show. In fact, the Old Testament has a really good reminder for us in the beginning of Psalms chapter 9. It says, quote, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous deeds. I will delight and rejoice in you. I will sing hymns to your name, Most High." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest spent 16 years as a coach in the National Football League, working as a special teams coach for the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons, and in between as an offensive assistant coach with the Detroit Lions. His years in the NFL included going to Super Bowl 51 in February 2017 with Atlanta. He also coached in the college ranks at the University of Kansas, the University of Pittsburgh, and at his alma mater, Louisiana Tech University, which he had attended on a football scholarship. He had played both football and basketball back in high school and is a part of the Catholic Athletes for Christ Speakers Bureau. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Eric Satulovich.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. As things go in the wonderful world of working in sports, we just heard quite a list of teams in that introduction, meaning a whole bunch of different locations. Where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
I was born in Kansas City, Kansas, and there's five of us. I had a brother and a sister, and obviously my parents.
One of the prerequisites to be a guest on Catholic Sports Radio is being a practicing Catholic. Eric, are you a cradle Catholic, or are you a convert to the faith?
I am a cradle Catholic. Both sets of my family, half from Croatia, half from Irish, both came over on boats. And if you know those countries, they're very strong Catholic foundation countries.
And was there Catholic education for you and your siblings in terms of be it grammar school, high school, or both?
Both. K through 12, I went to Catholic school at Christ the King Grade School and then Bishop Ward High School in Kansas City, Kansas.
Wow. Wow. So clearly raising the children in the Catholic faith was an absolute priority for your parents, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Putting three kids through Catholic school. You know, my dad worked two jobs almost every day. He'd drive a truck for Yellow Freight and then come back later and do some heating, cooling, and plumbing. And my mom was a nurse as well. So I'm very thankful and blessed to have them as parents and to put us in a situation that we could receive a Catholic education.
So when did you start playing sports? And was it just kind of organic, or was there someone you maybe looked up to that perhaps was the inspiration for you getting into sports?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know why I started playing. All I can remember is back when I started playing flag football. That was the first sport I played. I played T-ball as well. I think every kid in the world has played T-ball, but something about football I really enjoyed. And, you know, I knew that was my path. I just enjoyed that sport more than the others. And I continued to play football and basketball, and I ran track too. But football was kind of always my baby that I enjoyed, and just I love the sport because it brings people together.
I assume, it's always a bad word, I assume that you must have been rooting for the Chiefs as a kid growing up?
As a kid growing up, yes. I was a big Derek Thomas, Neil Smith fan. You know, when I was young, Chiefs weren't that good. They were pretty poor. But as they Marty Schottenheimer got in there and took over, it really turned and something to give Kansas City be able to be proud of.
Was that something that you and your dad, or maybe one or more of your siblings, kind of united around watching Chiefs games together on Sundays?
Oh, absolutely. There was a tradition of we'd have the game on, but we turn the volume off and turn the radio on because the announcer on the radio was incredible. And mom always made, we had tacos and enchiladas. That's what we did on that game day. Tacos, enchiladas, listen to it on the radio and watch it on the TV.
Wow. What a fun memory to have. It sounds like a really great bonding every Sunday during football season for sure. I mentioned in the intro that you attended Louisiana Tech University. You got some pushback on your Catholic faith while you were a college student.
Yeah, I did. And I grew up in Kansas City and very blue collar, very, you know, I don't want to say a Catholic oriented city, but it is, and never had to defend myself much. When I went down to Louisiana, which you can imagine Louisiana is a whole different world down there, I found myself not knowing a lot of people. And during practice, at the end of practice one day, one of the players stood up and said, "Hey, we got FCA tonight. Everybody, you know, can come." And I remember hearing about FCA and thinking it was, you know, a good thing. So I went to FCA, which is, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I don't want to make a blanket statement, but this is just what happened to me. But while we were there, it was, you know, I got a lot of pushback in the meetings after everybody figured out I was Catholic. They wanted to, "Well, why are you Catholic? You guys pray to statues, and you got a smoke going on and church." And, you know, it was always something. And it was just the little digs that kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And back then I was, you know, fresh out of high school, and you would think that a kid that went K through 12 would know his faith well. And that I could not defend myself. But what I did find is comfort in knowing that my parents, my grandparents, laid such a strong foundation in me that I wasn't worried about it, but I didn't have answers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's also a challenging time to begin with, because here you are away from home, adjusting to what is college life like. You're also there in a football scholarship, so you want to make a good impression on your teammates and the coaches. And in the meantime, people are saying Satulovich is Catholic, as if Satulovich is only here because, you know, it's like some bad knock against you, and it's just the type of faith that you chose to practice. And instead you're going, okay, not only do I have to prove myself on the field, but now all of a sudden I have to defend why Satulovich is Catholic. Let me get ready for these answers that I didn't realize I was going to have to come prepared with. I thought I was just going to need answers for the tests that I'm taking in my classes. And instead, you know, here's this that was unexpected.
Absolutely. It was. And, you know, it laid a path for me that took me a direction I never thought I would go. And, you know, with everything, there's always a yin and a yang. The part that I couldn't do was give you the answers, tell you why I did what I did. But what that did is it led me a direction that I feel very strongly and confidently I can defend our faith now. And I don't have all the answers, but I have the answers I was asked. I can promise you that.
Yeah. And folks, I'm going to come back to that with Eric, but I wanted to just, while we're talking faith for the moment, and I do try to balance faith and sports as much as I can, but Eric, you spent lots and lots and lots of years coaching collegiately, but in the NFL. Was that something you were actively praying for? Meaning when you got hired by Houston, when you got hired by Detroit, when you got hired by the Falcons, were you seeing those as blessings and thanking God? Or was it, you know what, Bruce, I'm going to be honest, you get caught up in it and you just throw yourself into all the demands that come with being an NFL coach and trying to stay an NFL coach?
Right. You know, our God has humor. And I always wanted to play football. And I can promise you this. I prayed to be in the NFL every time I was at Mac. And I kid you not, I prayed and I prayed every single time I was in Mass.
Wow.
Well, I left out the one part about playing in the NFL. I got the coaching in the NFL, which I'll tell you, I was very blessed and lucky. I just happened to be in the right place in the right time, and it worked out for me. But with being able to do that, it has also given me a small platform that I can go back and do things like this, to talk to people, to talk to youth groups, to talk to young men, young women, about their faith and how to defend it and how to take up the cross and do what God has called you to do. I am very thankful for that. And I love, whether you like it or not, once you put that NFL shield on your arm, people will listen to you, whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent. There's a lot of responsibility in that. And I hope that I've at least tried to do it the right way and use it for our faith.
Well, and as we're also going to be hearing, it's also kind of a nice victory, because when you think back to, hey, Satulovich is Catholic. Yes, I am. And boy, am I proud of it. And now I'm going to tell you all about it. So it's a great victory. And I'm anxious for you to tell this story to the audience. His story does continue victoriously as it relates to plunging deeper into his faith, audience. And while I already know what that consists of, I'm anxious to hear him say it live here and for all of you to hear it too, of course. First, let me say Happy New Year again to everyone. My best wishes to everyone for a blessed and healthy and happy 2023. I find myself also including the word prosperity in my New Year's wishes lately to people as well. I hope you will keep my ministry in your prayers for this new year, that Catholic Sports Radio will flourish in whatever way the Lord sees fit so as to give glory and honor to Him and move more people deeper in their faith. Of course, I do hope that Catholic Sports Radio will, for lack of a better word, flourish in prosperity financially, so I don't have to keep finding ways out of my own pocket to have to take on all the expenses that come with not only operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, but that come with being a one-man operation. I can tell you that Erin Hahn-Barrier is the latest individual to make a gift to my ministry. You know her as the guest from 3 weeks ago on episode 202. I did, of course, trade emails with her, thanking her for that, but definitely wanted to publicly acknowledge that kind gesture that she made. Erin used the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net to send her contribution to my ministry, and had a really nice note along with it, too. I ask you to prayerfully consider doing the same as part of your tithing, and maybe as a belated Christmas gift to me or as a Happy New Year wish to send my way. Look for that blue button on the website. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it allows you to type in whatever amount you're most comfortable with rather than having to pick from a drop-down menu of amounts. Alternatively, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending me a check through the mail. As you're hearing me do on this episode in saying Erin Hahn-Barrier's name, and as I've done in the past in thanking other guests and listeners who've made a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to my ministry, or as some have asked instead, you can choose to remain anonymous. Either way, whether through the blue Donate to CSR button or by sending a check, Your gift means a lot to me, not only in helping with the various costs that I've reported to you over several episodes of this show, but in telling me that you like Catholic Sports Radio and find value in it and that it's impacting your faith life. Please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Eric, in the first half of the show, you talked about pushback that you got while you were in college, meaning criticisms of being Catholic. How did you eventually come through that?
Well, Bruce, there's a long story. I'll give you the abridged version. So, you know, when that happens, you know, as an athlete and me as a person, there's a lot of, I don't want to say pride, but there's pride in knowing that you're what you are and what you believe. And when I couldn't do what they were asking, why? Those questions just kept, why would you do that? Doesn't say that. It started a wheel in my head turning. And it didn't come about overnight. It was a process that just kept turning and kept turning. When I got out of college, I was lucky enough to meet my now wife. She was not Catholic. So the conversations came again. You know, there was a little bit of a comfort zone in there for a while where I didn't have to, you know, battle. But those questions started coming up again, and they kept coming up. And not in a bad way, just curious. Mm-hmm. But then I remembered what had happened to me in college, and that sent me to a place where I had got to find answers. Mm-hmm. In this process, in this time of what was going through my mind, I went to one of the services at her church, and it was what was similar and different between Catholicism and their church. Mm-hmm. I thought this would be great. You were in the process where we're probably going to get married. I felt this way. And going through this and going to that service, that was it. That's where I drew the line in the sand, because it was not what was similar. It was what was different. And what our church had done in history to, if you can think about it, that's what was said, burning people and keeping the Bible to ourselves and not letting anybody do this and doing that. And when people tried to bring up things, they, you know, persecute them. Well, at the end of that, I had, you know, eyes looking on me. You know, I'm at a table with family and friends of my wife. And again, none of this was cruel. Like, they weren't being mean to me.
Sure.
But it was like, is this your church? Is this what you believe? Mm. And right then and there, that's when I knew I am done. I drew a line in the sand, and I started looking for answers. And it took a little piece of time. I started reading books, but I'm going to tell you right now, Bruce, I am not a reader. I'm not good at it. Uh-huh. I can't retain knowledge. I'm a, as they would call, a dumb jock. but what I did find was I'm flipping through radio stations, and I don't know how it stopped, but it did. And I stopped it. I started listening, and it was Catholic Answers Live. And I was hooked. I mean, it took all of 3 seconds for me to hear a question and to hear an answer. And I was like, I have found it. This is it. And I listened to it all day. I listened to podcasts. I listened to, I think at that time they had podcasts, but they had the shows on the internet. We could go back and look at or listen to them. And I listened to everything. Wow. And I listened and I listened. And I learned so much from that.
Wow.
And it took a while, but that, it found me. Somehow it found me, and it changed me. It changed my life. It changed the way my confidence in what I believe. Never was I in doubt. I didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to put it forward. And then from that, I found you know, a couple other people that were involved with Catholic Answers and started listening to their shows, and it was life-changing. It really was.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, speaking of having an impact on you, way back in the intro, I had mentioned that you played both basketball and football in high school. As much as that might seem like a lifetime ago, you have said that the coaches of both of those teams made an impact on you. Share with us not only how so, but also the example that your dad set as well when you were a kid attending Catholic school.
Absolutely. So both of my coaches, Dennis Dorr and Joel Heider, were both people that they were good men, but they also, they didn't just talk the talk, they walked the walk. I would see them in Mass. I would see them, helping out at the church.
Wow.
I would see them doing things. And, you know, it always left an impact on me. If my coach who's one of my leaders is doing this, why am I not doing that? Why am I not, doing these things? And it really left a great impact on me. And I was very blessed and lucky to have that option in my life of a leader like that at such a young age too, when you're very vulnerable in high school and college. And those were two great individuals that I still thank for that.
And before you talk about your dad, I want to jump here and say something because, you know, parents, if you're listening with your kids or if you're going to talk to your kids later about what you heard on Catholic Sports Radio, it's important to remember, especially those of you that are coaches, when you step away from the field, those students, they still see you as coach. And so even though, well, I'm just Mr. So-and-so now sitting in Mass on Sunday, no, they still look at you as there's Coach So-and-so sitting in Mass. And so they're always looking to see what coach is doing, whether he or she is on the field or not. So like it or not, that job is just with you everywhere you go. And people are watching you, and you are a quote-unquote public figure at the risk of overstating it. And so what a wonderful story Eric is sharing with us about the example that you see coaches setting by showing up at church and not just going through the motions, but being really actively engaged in the Mass, being involved with the church and everything that he's describing. But Eric, please, I'm sorry, go ahead and continue on with your father.
No, that's exactly right. And I just to go on that a little bit, I still, even though I'm not in the NFL anymore, I coach at a high school, and I know kids watch you. I know kids see you. Mm. I'll be in the grocery store, and one of my biggest things is, hey, what are you doing when nobody's watching you?
Mm.
Right? Because it's the same thing with me. People are watching. When you're an athlete, people watch you. And if you're a coach, people watch you. Whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent, they're looking to you for leadership. And whether you want to be that person or not, you are.
Yeah, because rest assured, if you did something in the grocery store that somebody didn't like, it would get out that Coach Satulovich did this in the grocery store,
yes.
Not just some guy named Eric Satulovich who was shopping there. It would be Coach.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And moving on and talking about my dad, we were, middle of the road, blue collar. My dad drove a truck for Yellow Freight, and then most of the time didn't come home for dinner. He would go straight to put an air conditioner in or a hot water tank or something else to make more money so we could stay, at our Catholic schools. But I did the one thing I always remembered. Not only did my mom always make sure he had dinner. Now, it might be cold and it might not be a lot, but there was a dinner on the table for him. But he always went to my mom first and gave her a kiss before he did anything else, and then would sit down and have dinner with her. Because usually he'd get home, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So I've always been very thankful for that and given me an example to live by.
Yeah, because here it is all these years later, and you're a husband, you're a father, and you're still remembering that from your childhood. So they say little things mean a lot. And in that case, that meant a lot to you. I'm sure it meant a lot to your mom, but it meant a lot to you to say, wow, look at what dad does to acknowledge mom first thing when he walks in the door, and filed that away for the day that you became a husband. Just like you're talking about now with being a coach in the grocery store or coaching at high school, and like your high school coaches did on you, you have had countless opportunities to make an impact on athletes, whether at the college or the NFL level, and now you're telling us that you're also coaching high school. How have you tried to do so in a way that draws upon being a Catholic without necessarily preaching scripture to them, of course?
Right. Well, I'm big on actions, not words. And anytime I can do the right thing, show the right thing, hold the door, pick up this, help the older person into the car, get their groceries. When I have opportunities to speak to our team, those are the things that come out of my mouth. And I tell them, you know, and again, for our faith, I think, because of what I don't ever understand is the difference between some of our other faiths and our faith is how you can believe that one time you do something and you are saved forever, where it is a process that gets you there. And what you do and how you take care of God's earth, God's people, makes a difference. And when you do the right thing, people see that. They want to know who you are. They want to know what you're about. And when you lead by actions instead of words, it can be changing, life-changing for some people, because they're naturally drawn to you and they're naturally going to follow your way. And by no means am I saying I'm perfect. I've got a lot of holes in me. I whistle when I walk, but I'm on a path with my hope being to see our Lord when I pass on.
Yeah. And I love everything you're saying, especially about leading by example, because as you're saying that, I'm picturing in my head, there you are coaching the high school team and a player for the other team goes down and coach steps out in the field and checks on him. And they're looking at you like, he's for the other team. And so your action is displaying to them, it doesn't matter that he's on the other team. You're not saying this, but the implication is this is a brother in Christ. So let's check on him and make sure he's all right, regardless of the uniform that he's wearing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have demonstrated your Catholic values by doing a lot of volunteer work, too, in the community. Share with us about working with inner city communities and the Wounded Warriors Project.
Well, one of the, you know, again, going back to that thought, I've been very blessed and lucky. I get to get put in situations that can help people. And one of my grandfather was in World War II. I've always been interested in history and veterans and the wars. And even today with my company that I own now down here in Georgia, I take care of the veterans and I take care of the elderly. Whether it's we sell the home improvement service, but if they can't make the note or can't figure that out, I'm going to figure out a way to take care of them. You know, it's the least I can do for what they've given to us and to what, the elderly, they came first. They got us to where we are in this country. And then it's our job as our stewards, or we're stewards of this going forward. So I really enjoy giving back, especially to veterans, the elderly. With the Falcons, we had a lot of fishing tournaments where we brought up wounded warriors to just give them a somewhat of a peaceful day on the lake and hopefully catch some fish and share stories. Again, that was the Falcons helping me do that. I was a part of it. It wasn't just me. We also went into the inner cities of Atlanta and tried to rebuild, repaint, take care of some groundskeeping, redo parks. And we do that every year. And I thought it was a great idea by Mr. Blank to put us in that situation. We're so lucky and blessed to have what we have that, you know, if somebody's asking you to give up a couple hours of your life to help somebody, why would you not? Why would you not?
Yeah, well said. Well said. So, you started to talk before about your now wife, but let's close by having you share about the journey that you and she went on towards holy matrimony, and then also about the children that the two of you have.
Absolutely. So, you know, as I was going on my journey, she was as well. And thank God, she researches things and researches things very well. And regardless of what she heard from one side or the other, she's going to dig down and figure out where the facts are. And as we started this journey, she gave it a fair chance and started reading and started listening, as I was. Mm. She started reading the early church fathers. And if anybody is out there listening, once you start to read the early church fathers, there is no other option but to be Catholic. While she was on this journey, there was something that clicked. It just started happening for her, and it just started to snowball and snowball. At the time, Pope John Paul passes away. So this is all over the news, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's on all day and all night. And I think sometimes when you're in smaller places and not really paying attention to the rest of the world, you forget how large our church is. Mm. And seeing the diversity, where it's not just one color, it's not just one country, it's not just one continent, it's the entire world, and of all ethnicities. And I think that was a little bit eye-opening to her to see it's everywhere. And Mass is said every hour on the hour, somewhere in the world. Mm. And all these little things started coming together. And eventually, and it didn't happen overnight. I will tell you that. It did not happen overnight, but it did happen. And I remember when she said, "Hey, I'm ready." And it was awesome. Wow. It was a great experience. I was so excited. And, you know, I couldn't wait. Now, this is while I'm coaching football. So my hours in my day, I'd be at work from, you know, 5:30 in the morning till midnight at night, mm. 6 days a week. And then we had a game on Sunday. So my time was not mine. When I tried to get her, we tried to get her enrolled, they said that because we had to be there so often and we had three little kids, or four little kids at this time, 8, 6, 4, 2, is that right? Yeah, man, every 2 years. You know, a mother with, we are new in Atlanta with little children, and we call it what it is, husband's not around. It was impossible for her to go to meetings throughout the week, mm-hmm. at church, so at our parish. We talked to a few people, and we found a way to do it. And we didn't do it at our parish. And that was one of my biggest disappointments, because I love our parish. We have an amazing parish. But I was like, this whole time, it's been years that I've been praying and begging for this, and it finally comes, and the thing that's going to stop it is my own church. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. And God's got a fun way of, like I said, he's got humor. There's no doubt about it. He's got some humor. And we just had to go a different avenue. And I'm so thankful for the priest that worked with us and helped us and got us through it. And I promise you, my wife can defend the faith better than I can. Mm. And she's a little bit more hot-tempered, which is good and bad. So as soon as it comes up, let's go. And you know what? I probably shouldn't be that way, but I am. I'm very feisty when it comes to defending our faith. And just for what I had to go through in college, and so many friends I lost in the faith because they couldn't defend it. Mm. So I'm very lucky and blessed to have her on my side and being an ally instead of an enemy.
But, you know, the point that you just made about not being able for her to do RCIA through your own parish and having to go somewhere else, that's testimony to what you just finished saying about how big our church really is, because we're blessed that there are so many Catholic churches around that you say, yes, of course, we would love for her to do RCIA through our home parish. But guess what? There's another one, quote unquote, just down the road that she can go do it through instead. So praise God, you know, she's not going to be held back.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, no ill will or anything, but I'm just glad we're where we are now. And now we have, you know, our four children. My oldest, Sage, is 18. She'll be 19 in a couple of weeks. She plays volleyball at South Carolina Upstate. My second daughter is a junior in high school, and she's 16, and she's a soccer player, and she plays a little volleyball too. And then my two boys, when girl, girl, boy, boy. Boys are, golly, what are they, 14 and 12. Both are football players, and they're gonna try out lacrosse this year, see if they can get that thing going. So I'm very blessed. I've got very good girls, very good boys. My oldest daughter is very similar to me. She can defend the faith, and she takes it personal. So when it comes time, she's as feisty as her mama. So, but I can't ask for much more. I've been blessed with a lot.
Well, and we've been blessed to have you on the show, Eric. This has been really wonderful. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and your family, and Happy New Year to the Satulovich family.
Yeah, same to you, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And folks, as a nod to all the time that Eric has spent in coaching throughout his career, we will close this episode with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and we'll do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Joshua 24, "As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Lord, I desire to serve you. Help me to make the right choices and encourage my players to do the same. Give me strength to act with integrity, even when others choose not to. Allow me to stand firm in my decisions and rest in the peace and love that only you can provide. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.